What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Emerson Wolf of Emerson Wolf and the Wishbones. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on.
Of course, of course. So I'm fairly new to your music, and I love what I'm hearing, and we're going to hop right into everything. But first, I guess we'll start out with, like, what have you been up to? Busy with shows in the studio? What's been going on with you?
Yeah, so we just got back from, like, our first tour, and it was, like, a little mini tour just for the month of July. So just got home from that, and we're heading into the studio right now to start on our next EP, which is coming out early fall.
That's awesome. I'm excited for it. I wanted to ask, because I was talking to Liz a while back when she first put me into contact with you, about the NPR Tiny Desk thing.
Yeah.
So can you kind of tell us what's going on with that? Because that sounds freaking awesome.
So awesome. Well, I love NPR and I love Tiny Desk. But basically, they have like an annual Tiny Desk contest they do where folks can submit original music, and they kind of break it down to a few different finalist levels, and then whoever wins gets to go on tour with NPR. It's like very cool. And obviously playing at Tiny Desk is everyone's dream. It's so cool there. And this last year, I was selected to be one of the finalists. I didn't end up winning the contest or anything, but my song, A Corner Store Hymn, got featured. And it was just such an honor to have them review it and talk about it on NPR, because I'm just like such a fan. It was kind of surreal, actually. I was like, my song.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, NPR, it's pretty cool. Like, I'm only just recently gotten into I've always loved the Tiny Desk stuff, of course. Mm-hmm. And the more you think about it, it's pretty nuts how if you look at the Tiny Desk concerts, like, in general, like, you have, like, I was looking today at the list of, like, the recent ones. You have some groups and artists that, like, a lot of people have not heard about or heard about yet. And then you got the next day, it's like Living Color or someone like that, like these big bands.
That's what I love about them. It's not like based on like popularity per se. It's genuinely like they just curate really good music. So that's one of my favorite things too, is like find artists on there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, congratulations on getting involved with that. That's awesome. So So let's go back a bit, just so people could get familiar with you and stuff. You have, like, when you think of music scenes, you have like the Texas music scene, you have Red Dirt, you have like a Nashville scene, everywhere has a scene, Appalachia, all that. Where would you put your guys if you had to choose, like, this is what we consider our community is, what would that be?
Well, we're New Jersey based, and there's a pretty strong music scene. We're near like the Asbury Park area. I don't know if you're familiar, but like Central Jersey, Asbury Park has a really thriving music community. It's cool here because it's not super genre specific. Like, we're more folk Americana with like some like country vibes. Like, people are always like, oh, like, you guys sound like you're like from Nashville. So like, but then there's also like really cool like R&B acts here and like indie rock. And it's a really, just like really thriving arts and music scene here. When I came to visit here before I moved here, I guess, I don't know, like 2022-ish. I was like, I have to be there right away. I was like, there's like live music every night, and everyone's like so supportive of the live original artists here. I just had to be part of it.
That's awesome. And your guys' sound, at least to me, like, it does, like, it's heavy folks, like the heavy on the folk aspect and the cool indie sound and everything. And it, of course, I'm sure you guys get grouped into the country, you know, genre a lot, just, you know, that's kind of the natural thing. But like, the folk is very interesting, and I feel like that is mixed in with the Americana sound that's very broad. Like, nowadays, I think it could be like a lot of people.
It's a big umbrella.
Yeah, like in the best way possible, you know, like, it just means there's so many different kinds of artists in that group. So is that what you would like call your guys, like Americana, or?
We're sort of like dancing this line, I feel like, between that more like folky country sound and then like a very like indie pop sound. So we kind of blend in with both spaces depending on who's listening to it, you know? I don't know. I haven't like spent a whole lot of time trying to figure out what our genre is, to be honest with you, just because like now with like the millions and billions of subgenres and how everything is, it's like, I don't even know. Like,
it don't matter anymore.
Right. I'm like, if you like it, I guess you like it. Yeah, it's really, it is so hard now. unless you're doing something really distinctive, to know where you fit. Because like people will say like that we're a genre that I've literally never heard of before in my life at a show, and I'll be like, hell yeah.
Yeah. That's a good thing. It makes like it makes you guys unique. And I'd imagine that has to be like one of the best, as an artist, one of the best compliments to hear is like, you guys sound like nothing else.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Depends on the names when they say that, but yeah.
Right. And so like when you think about like the New Jersey area and like the whole, like the crowd you run around with, I compare it to like other places I know, and there is a lot more between different scenes. There's a lot more competition than there is camaraderie. And then the other way around, there's a lot more camaraderie, community aspect. Since I'm very unfamiliar with how it is up there, so how would you describe it?
I would say that this is the easiest scene to be a part of, I think. I think that when I came here, before even people, you don't even need to really kind of prove yourself like musically, because obviously you're going to have to, you know, be good and to be able to play the venues and sell out the shows. But the other musicians just want you to be like included. So everybody's at everybody's shows and everybody's supporting everybody. And no matter, I guess a better way of wording that is, no matter like where you are on your career path, if you're more of like a casual musician, you're just kind of playing for fun, or you like hit up open mics, or if you're touring, like we are, and everyone in between is just like excited to have you there and just wants you to feel like part of it. In my personal experience, it's been the most inviting scene I've ever seen.
Great. Yeah. And does that mean like, do you work? Because I listened to a podcast you did a couple months ago. I forget what it was called, but shout out to whoever they were. But I was just, and you were talking about how you write a lot. You're always writing songs, and like, so do you ever, is it usually just you writing, or do you like to co-write, maybe reach out to other people in that scene or anything like that?
Written collaboratively, and that's just because I've just never done it. I don't really even know where I'd go about that, to be honest. It's like such a personal thing for me, and not intentionally so. Like, I'm totally open to you know, broadening my horizons on that, but I can't even write. Like, my husband, he has to like be out of the house, like nobody can be around me. It's like because it's just like I think I need I think I get need to like kind of let go of the idea of it needing to sound good. And if there's another person or I'm involved with other people, I'm like, I think I'd be more hesitant, would be more hesitant to kind of like express an idea or a thought, you know? So right. I like to have like the safety of my four walls to write in. And then usually that's how my band writes. I write the music and then I'll bring it to my band and then we'll rehearse it. That's
like, I gotcha. Yeah. And it's, I mean, at the end of the day, it is a personal thing. Like, it's like when it comes to writing, you make it for people to hear, but it all is, it comes from you.
Right.
And I also heard you talking about on this interview that you like to get the songs out there. Like, you want to write them and you don't like backlogging them, I believe is what you were talking about. So
it's bad too, because I write so often. So like, I have to be in the studio pretty often to keep up with that dream.
Yeah. And that made me start thinking, kind of going down a road there, like, and maybe it doesn't have to specifically mean you, but in general, as an artist and maybe other artists you've seen, when you do like backlog or wait on a song, of course, like a lot of artists like to build them up for whether it's an EP or an album, whatever. But have you ever written a song that you've sat on for a while and then like it just doesn't have that same kick as it did when you wrote it? Is that what, that might be a reason why you want to get it out now? Or does that make any sense?
No, I do hear what you're saying. I feel like I'm not sure if that specifically has happened to me where I like waited too long, but I do know that just like as a writer and as an artist, I've evolved a lot. Like, I think some of the music that I have written and used to play, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, it just doesn't really connect with me in the same way anymore. So like, I think that I could definitely see that happening for sure, because I just know for myself anyway, like as I move and grow through life, the things that are important to me shift and change, and that would obviously come out in the writing as well.
Yeah, for sure. And let's talk a bit about the Wishbones and like your band you have, because obviously, you know, you've been doing this yourself for a while now, like you said, like 10 years and everything. So, and if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Wishbones, like, was that this is like a couple years old, 3 years old, maybe?
So, I mean, I've been writing music for a long time, but this is the first time that I've been like performing as a musician in any kind of serious way. The Wishbones and I formed about 2 years ago now. This is my first band that's like a gigging band. Mm-hmm. And they're the most incredible people ever. I met my friend Jen, who's the lead guitar player of the band. And it started with the two of us just kind of jamming in her attic. And then we were like, what if we brought some people into this and made it a band? And what a good decision that was. Because it's been really incredible ever since. Yeah.
Was that easy to gel into at first with like a gigging band that you're like, you know, it's... I mean, yeah, like how'd that go?
Well, I mean, Jen's been a gigging musician also for a lot of years. She has like a punk background. I also have a punk background in her band. So she had experience with that. And then Jason Bertizzo, the next guy who joined us, our multi-instrumentalist, he's the banjo mandolin guy, also had an extensive background. So it was really easy to kind of gel into it, and everybody was just excited, and all just people who like were driven to be musicians and be in a working band. So it worked out well.
Heck yeah. And did you mention that you had a bit of a punk rock background?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I was in a band just before this one called Lady Parts. We were like a punk duo. But just like, when I say not seriously, just in the way of like, we played like some like house and like DIY shows, but it was serious. Like I enjoyed it and I cared about it, but it wasn't the way that I pursue, like this project as more of like a career focus, I guess.
Yeah. That's just interesting to me because I feel like a lot of, artists and bands that are kind of in your wheelhouse now with like, whether it be like Americana in general, a lot of them do have like either a punk background, a metal background, like something completely different.
Two sides of the same coin, you know? It's like, I feel like in the way of that, they're both just very, there's not a lot of like bells and whistles for either of them. It's just very like raw to the point kind of music. And I think that's what I love about both of them.
Hell yeah. Yeah. You said punk rock and my ears perked up. That's like one of my favorite types of music, but yeah. Oh yeah. But, another thing I wanted to talk to you about is that I looked at your Spotify, and I don't want to sound lame talking about Spotify monthly listeners because, like, you know, that's whatever, but you have a lot of them. You have a lot of them. And what did I guess, because, like I said, I'm new to your music, so I'm still kind of trying to catch up. How'd that happen? Like, did a song pop off or?
I mean, it's kind of insane. It's really been pretty steady growth. I mean, the first thing that kind of popped off was our debut EP, Not a Good Woman. That the title track of that, Not a Good Woman, is our most popular song. When that came out and people were really liking that, there was a big shoot, obviously, because it went from like zero to whatever it went to. And then since that point, it's just been kind of like steadily growing. I mean, it's really insane. Like, I feel really overwhelmed sometimes by how much people have just been like really connecting to the songs and the music. Like people reach out to me and say the most insane things about what the songs make them feel. And, you know, just right getting back from our first tour, being like from New Jersey and going to like Illinois and people being like, oh, we drove 4 hours to be here. And like that kind of stuff. I'm like, what? Like, why not? Why is it like, I'm so happy you came, but also like, how do you even know who I am?
For real, like that has to be like a shock to you. Like was that easy, like hard to handle it? You kind of mentioned it there, but when that first boom, was that kind of hard to handle a bit?
Well, that was crazy. I mean, the first when Not a Good Woman started popping off was crazy too, because it's just like, you know, it wasn't necessarily local. It was like all over the place. So it was a lot of people contacting me like on the internet, and I'd never experienced anything like that before. So it was pretty insane. It still kind of feels a little bit like fake. Like I'm like, like this is a little bit. I can't even tell you how much it means to me that people are connecting to music and that they go out of their way to tell me so, because it really does. Like anytime somebody says that to me, it like makes my entire day. I just like can't believe it.
Yeah. So why do you think it does connect to so many people? Is there a certain aspect to your writing or anything you give off like that you think really hits with people?
I think it's interesting because when I'm writing, a lot of my music is like very like autobiographical. A lot of it's like very specifically about me and specific situations. And I think in a way it's kind of not what you're expecting, but it, I think that makes it connect with people. Because it is so niche and so personal and specific that, when somebody hears that and they can relate to it, they're like, that sounds like about my life. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like this broad generalization. It's like something so like clear that they're like, she's singing about me right now. Like, it's mm-hmm. kind of the feedback I get. So it is interesting. I feel like sometimes the more niche you get and the less you try to connect with everybody, the more that you meet the people that you like really should be connecting with. You know what I mean? Like, my music, yeah. The people who like really get what I'm saying exactly, if that makes sense.
That makes that makes total sense. And like that, because you have a great point there. Like, I don't write songs at all, but like, I could imagine like if you do want to write a song that, I'll just say, you want it to get on the radio or something like that, you know, like you want it to really, the first thing you'd want to do maybe is like, let's just make something not broad, but you know, enough that everyone will see where you're coming from.
Yeah,
but you're right. Like, especially like, let me keep going back to the Americana scene and everything. But like that's why I think it's popping off so much right now. Like, just in you could look at the most,
yeah.
Like, it is nuts because a lot of it, the writing and like all the songs are so specific, and the way the words, like, you know, like are written, they're not broad. They're not.
Yeah.
A blanket statement, you know?
There's just something really interesting, and there's something very like moving about kind of being shown like a window into somebody's personal life or like their story, you know? Like, mm-hmm. they'll like just mention like a, you know, they'll mention a person and like not give a ton of context, but you're like, I don't know, it hits different than them just being like, and she was a girl. Like, you know, yeah. Like, something hits a little different.
Yeah, 100%. Do you find, your songwriting, like, you know, mainly like the lyrical part, do you find that the way you do it or your method like evolving over time? And if you do, is it natural? Is it stuff, or are you actively like going like, oh, I want to try writing a song this way or that way? I hope that makes sense too. I don't know. Like, do you?
I mean, I feel like kind of not. I mean, I think that I've kind of had the same writing, like, what was the word I was looking for? The method of writing I've kind of had since I started writing, which has been like no method at all. I generally just like play the song. Like, I'll just like be messing on my guitar and I just say like nonsense words. I'll just be like speaking into the void until I say something and I'm like, that sounds like something maybe. And then I kind of like branch off of that thing. I still do that today, same way. And then I think that kind of whatever the song ends up being about is just sort of like what comes to the surface of like where I've been at lately.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not like a super, I'm very intentional about my songs, but as far as the very, very beginning, I just kind of let something bubble up and then I take it from there and then I kind of pick it apart.
Yeah, especially because like in your case, like you mentioned earlier, it is autobiographical. True, so like, yeah. I guess, you know, it's, you live it and then you write about it, I guess.
Yeah,
right? Right on. So do you have any like, oh crap moments per se? Like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. Like, whether it be like your first tour, having those people come up to you and saying, awesome, we drove all this way, or the Tiny Desk thing. Have you had like anything specific to where you're like, wow, this is happening?
I mean, the big one is when people come to the shows from away or whatever. I mean, I remember the first time that happened right when Not a Good Woman was kind of popping off, and this bus full of friends drove to one of our shows in Highland Park, New Jersey. I think it was like a 5-hour drive or something from like somewhere where they were in Pennsylvania, and they were singing the songs, and it was crazy because I'd never looked out to the crowd. It was the first time I looked out and everyone's singing. And I was like, who are y'all? And then I came up to them afterwards and they were like, oh, we got in a van together and we drove here. And I was like, I was so shell shocked. I asked them if I could take a picture with them. And they were like, we were going to ask you the same thing. But I'm like, it was just so crazy. And that still, I mean, that hits the same way. I mean, we've like had a lot happen. It's been a pretty busy like first couple years, but I mean, it still is very new, you know, and it's wild. It's just wild.
Yeah, that just that kind of feeling and that experience, like, I don't know, like, I'd assume it's with pretty much any artist. Like, I feel like that just will never get old, like, no matter what scale you're on.
So real.
Yeah. And because I'm still wondering about the New Jersey scene up there, because I am so clueless. I've never been even close to New Jersey. Yeah, but so how is the live scene there, the live music, whether it's venues, anything like that?
Depends. Well, I mean, there's like a couple different ones. Like if you go to like North Jersey, kind of like surrounding New York, that's kind of like a scene, which we play there and we play in the city as well. But specifically where we are, Central Jersey on the beach, there's some really iconic venues like the Stone Pony, the Wonder Bar. We've got House of Independence, stuff like that. So there's some like pretty like historic, iconic venues, and then a ton of smaller bars and clubs as well. So pretty much any day of the week you can go see live music. And it's all like, the reason I really love this scene is because it's very like original music focused. Yeah. It's, you go to like a club or a bar and there's like an original live band. And I just think there's like nothing I'd rather do than just go stumble in and watch an original live band.
Yeah. And speaking of the like original music, and I think I heard you say this on that interview too, correct me if I'm wrong again, but you have always been original music focused, right? Like did you skip the cover route with like?
I never dabbled really in the covers. You know, honestly, like it's not even an elitist thing. I'm just not good at them. I mean, I like to sing other people's songs, but I'm like hardly a guitar player. I play just enough so I can write my songs. Like to me, like I always say, like people are like, what do you do in the band? Like I'm the songwriter. I guess I sing. Yeah, I play guitar, but like the thing that I care about and the thing that I feel like I'm excel in is the songwriting. And if I was doing covers, I feel like it'd be like fine.
You know what I mean? I never thought about it like that.
The thing for me.
Yeah. So like, because obviously that's usually like, that's like the route a lot of artists take is like, you know, they have to do the covers and then they work up. Is that, did that hinder your growth at first when you were starting to get in and do it like for a living and everything? Or did you really not care? Like,
yeah, well, no, but also I think it might have inhibited it had I maybe started earlier or been here earlier. It's kind of hard to say, but I don't really think so. I mean, I just always was more into the original music scene. And I think it's a different scene. I mean, obviously, a lot of the folks I know around here do covers as well, but I think most of the bands around here are pretty original music focused. And I mean, a lot of the places we play, like they only will host original bands. So I feel like I necessarily feel like one that goes into one. I think the cover people are like serious business and they're what they're doing, they're taking it very for real and they're playing like insane clubs and going all night, and like I couldn't do that. I think they're like separate things, you know. I don't think
they are
really moves into the next. There was kind of like two different worlds. But
100%. Yeah, I see that too. Now that you've told me, like I have seen that in pretty much every other scene too, so that's great. But I want to talk a bit about your last single that came out in June. So, you know, still recent enough to talk about it, right? So like Louisiana Sky, love it. And and I guess first off, is there like any theme or story that you want to talk about that's behind it or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a story of just how insane it feels to go from being incredibly close to somebody and then being your entire world. There's kind of two different verses. One's more about romantic love, one's more about friendship. Just generally being really, really close to somebody, and then kind of the surrealness of taking a step back and being like, I don't know them anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that person, and how kind of like bizarre that feels. And it's not necessarily it can be sad, but it could also just be like very unsettling. You know, you're just like when you see somebody or you see a place where it's like there's a couple mentions of being on different streets or being in different towns and remembering these times and being like, how strange it is to be back in this spot in a totally different, like we would never be here again together, you know?
Yeah, that's, and that's very tough and very relatable to a lot of people. And I don't want to get deep here, but I think like losing a friend almost is like heavier than losing like in the romantic aspect, you know?
Breakups are like nothing else. Friend breakups are like nothing else. Yeah.
It's the worst. So also I wanted to ask, when you're in the studio, I assume it's the Wishbones too, right? It's, you don't have like a studio. Hell yeah. I love that. I love when artists do that.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, it's awesome. Were you pretty happy with the reception, with the fan reaction and all that?
Of like Louisiana Sky? Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. People have been really, really sweet about it. We left right on tour, like right after the song came out too.
Nice.
We did a big single release party at, there's a venue slash brewery in Asbury Park, New Jersey called Wild Air Beer Works. And they actually, they brewed a beer called like Louisiana Sky. So it was, and it has like our, like artwork on it. We did like a big beer single release party tour show. So that was a ton of fun. Yeah.
Heck yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah. So, before we talk about, what you got, you know, coming up with like new music or anything like that, since we are in July now, about to be August, so I usually ask this at the beginning of the year, like, what are your goals for 2025? But obviously, we're almost done with it. So yeah. I'd like to hear, like, where we're at in the year right now. You happy with how everything's going? You reach your goals? Like, anything like that?
Definitely. I mean, it's been a wild year. It's just been just, like, absolutely incredible. Like, even being on this podcast, I'm like, 2 years ago, I would have been like, that's not real life. So, wild. I mean, we've got a lot of things coming up, but we got a lot done. Yeah, we released, did we release our album this year? Was it this year? No, I don't know. It might have been the end of 2024, but we've definitely released.
Either way.
And then, you know, played a lot of shows. We got our first tour. We did a Kickstarter campaign to raise funds to buy a used vans so we could go across the country in that, and we reached our goal on there. So we're gonna be getting a van soon and going on a much more extensive US-Canada tour. So it's kind of just nonstop good things all the time.
That's awesome. It sounds like you guys are really like full steam ahead right now, and like that's like a great mindset to have. And how do you keep, and you don't seem burnt out, you seem very ready to go, but how do you stop yourself from getting burnt out with this kind of stuff?
I don't know. I guess I'll tell you how it goes. It's a little bit like, I'm still so shell-shocked that it's even, the reception is the way that it is, that's kind of fueling it to keep going. I mean, there's kind of no reason to not keep going when like people are so excited and they want to hear the new music, and I want them to hear it, and hell yeah, let's do it. It's kind of the mindset.
Hell yeah. I love to hear it. So, I guess before we get out of here, like, let's talk about what you got going on, new music, anything like that. Also shows, anything you want, floor is yours.
Well, we're going to be, in South Carolina at the Fall for Greenville Festival in Greenville, South Carolina, October 10th, which we're really excited about. That's a really cool festival in a really cool city. And then we're planning a tour for November and also a bigger tour for the springtime. All of those dates are to be announced. You can find those wherever you find us on Instagram or Spotify, anything like that. And we're about to get back in the studio. This is actually the announcement of that. Haven't told anybody else this yet, but
okay.
We're about to get back in the studio to record a 5-song EP, which we're hoping to have out early October and to September as well. So. Looking forward
Heck
to it.
Yeah. Rounding out the year strong. That's exciting.
Yes.
Heck yeah. And you mentioned some of your like socials there. If you want to give out any like the names to where people can find you.
Totally. You can find me anywhere on the internet at Emerson Wolf Music. And then obviously Emerson Wolf and the Wishbones on any of the streaming platforms wherever you listen to your music. We'll be there.
Right on. And you guys make sure to do that, because this is some good, unique sound of music that is just straight from the soul. And I love it. You guys are going to love it too. And you guys make sure to follow Emerson Wolf and the Wishbones. Also check out Ray's Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us, you'll find us. So thanks a lot for everyone listening. And we'll talk to you all next time. My boots would look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? 'Cause baby,